Private Journal of Celia, not dated. Coriace came today to ask if I was all right. I said I was doing as well as might be. He said his master, Maester Bass, was concerned for me. That was kind. He asked, too, if I knew aught about the nobleman killed last night. I said no, I heard nothing, except he was a fool and had lots of women. He said that is like every nobleman he ever heard of. He spoke to Bardo after, and they thought I did not hear. Bardo thinks I do not know about his plans against the archpriest, but I do. The archpriest is a bad man. I do not like him, so really it is all right what Bardo planned. Coriace got scared when he heard you could tell by his voice. He tried to tell Bardo no, but Bardo does not like to hear no. That is why I never say it to him. I just say what he wants and then make him change his mind another way. You can always move men's minds more easily after you have given them their pleasure. So says the Countess, and she is right as always. She should know after all. I did not say to Coriace that the nobleman was one of the Countess's lovers. I did not think that was important. She has so many. I had almost forgotten it. Besides, I think she has set him aside now. Before he was killed, I mean. Private Journal of Gregorius Bass, the 15th of the second month. Again for fencing after closing up the office. My muscles grow accustomed to the exercise and do not pain me as they did. Also, I begin to be faster, having learned the forms well enough that I need not think in order to perform them. Thomas suggested tonight that he should speak to Bardo, and Coriace went to arrange it and returned saying that Bardo was willing. He has not told Bardo that he has confided in us, for Bardo required his word that he would tell nobody. This troubled me, for I had taken Coriace for a man of his word. I am not a nobleman, he replied. Despite my parental descent, an honour is less to me than the lives of my family and friends. Could I keep my word and not endanger them, I would do so. And you need have no fear of dishonesty from me when lives are not threatened. But I will not let a quibble of a knightly code, of which I have not the benefit, prevent me from an action in defence of my own. Felkior laughed. In the city, he observed, your Coriace has the right of it, for it is proper to a servant to think and act in such a way. If Bardo does not remember that, perhaps he is a nobleman, as we have suspected before. But, Coriace, it is also proper to a servant to conceal such matters from his master. What say you?
I say that my master is not only my master, but also my companion, and a comrade in arms in these threatening times, if I may so call you, master. And from my comrade in arms I will not conceal what I judge he needs to know.
Though you are a rogue, you are a right-hearted rogue, it seems to me, I replied. And although the idea of one morality for the high-born and another for the low disturbs me, it seems that it is universally practised nonetheless, whether I wish it or wish it not. And so I must be content and glad to call you comrade-in-arms, for I had rather your true loyalty than your false word.
Well said, Sir Gentle Knight, and my hand on it, said Coriace, and clasped my hand firmly in his slender fingers.
Private Journal of Gregorius Bass, the 16th of the second month. Thomas offers good news. He has spoken to Bardo at Coriace's instance, and by many arguments has convinced him to abandon his intent. I let him explain what Coriace had already told us, falling in with his stratagem, he said, then told him first that he would gain nothing for our people, and second that he would lose much, and third, that the guard are not quite such fools as he takes them for, at which he smiled. But he appeared most moved at my argument that the characterists would lose the point he wished to make, and focus only on the violence by personalists as a focus for their despite, and pursue us to our deaths to no good purpose. I suggested that if he must attack the archpriest, he should do so in some way which was humiliating but not fatal, such as with aged eggs or overripe fruit, but not at a moment when he personated the sun,
lest the pious characterists see only blasphemy, and the pretend pious a cause for persecution. Rather, he should choose the moment before the mask was on him, and remove his dignity.
"Did you mention your relationship?" I asked.
I did not, for he might take it that I wanted to preserve my brother's life simply because he is my brother. There is little enough love between us, and I would not regret to see him humbled. If it had been done during his priestly training, he would be a better man today, though probably some other would have been archpriest. I do not wish his death, though, or any other man's, if it comes to it. If only we could have our freedom without deaths.
"Blood is the coin of freedom, so they say," said Corius darkly.
"Blood is the coin of power, and without power we cannot free ourselves, and no one else will free us," the old man replied bitterly. We were silent for a little, then Felkior said, "And did Bardo give his word?" Tamas cast up his eyes, remembering.
"He thanked me for my counsel and commended my wisdom and concern for our people, and said, 'It is true, violence such as I proposed can only inflame matters in the city to no gain for our cause. Your suggestion is an excellent one, and I will convey to my people orders changed accordingly.' Thank you, my Sir Tamas, for your visit, and please thank Corius for bringing us in contact. I believe he is your son, recently acknowledged. He does you credit, a man of intelligence and discretion."
"Were those his words exact?" asked Corius. "I will convey to my people orders changed accordingly."
"His words exact. I have been a secretary many years, and it has honed my memory for the spoken word."
"It sounds to me like a promise," I said.
"Aye, my sir," said Corius.
"But forgive me, you are at times the innocent man."
"We are all grown too suspicious. Where is trust in such a time, at such a place?"
Private Journal of Celia, not dated. My Sir Tamas came to see Bardo and wanted him not to kill the archpriest. Bardo said he would not, but not really. Corius does not want him to do it. I wonder why, because Corius does not like the temple or the priests either, and nor does my Sir Tamas. I think he said it would make the authorities angry with the personalists. Well, your authorities already are angry with the personalists. That is why they are criminals. I wonder if Corius told my Sir Tamas, even though he promised not to. Corius does not always keep his promises, not like Bardo. If he is going to do something different, he just never promises, like he has never promised to marry me, even though I want him to, and I think he wants it too sometimes. It is because of who he is he cannot do it. He thinks I do not know who he is. Well, he is wrong, but I will not say anything to let him know I know. People think I always say everything I think, and I do, but some of it I say only to my journal, and nobody else knows. That is why I hide it like I do, and some of it I just say to myself in my head. Bardo was very nice to me tonight. I wonder if he would be if he knew who I am, or if he knew I know who he is.
Private Journal of Gregorius Bass. The 17th of the second month. No entry. The 18th of the second month. The butcher last night claimed his fifth victim, one of the watch this time. This one has broken Corius's pattern, for it was at some distance from the house of the countess. However, it has suggested a new pattern to him. In almost every case there have been four nights between the killings, except for the first and second, the Calerian and Mende, where there were only two nights. The next killing, therefore, he believes, will be upon the eve of solstice. He will speak of this, he says, though not of his other theory, to Bardo, that his people might be particularly alert that night. We discussed this theory of patterns at the house of the old men. In the victims, however, I said, there is no pattern in particular. A foreign merchant, a servant woman, a member of the Commissioners of Masks, a minor noble, and now a watchman.
Ah, Correas argued, this very lack of pattern is a pattern. The murderer is killing one of every group in the city, and so all are equally terrified.
You know who is missing, said his father.
Aye, the priests, he replied.
I would not go garbed as a priest the night before solstice if I were you, gentlemen, said Thomas. I think he takes Correas's theory seriously.
Journal of Gregorius Bass, the 19th of the second month. The new watch captain is threatened with dismissal, for he has made no more progress than Portovan, and now one of his own has been murdered by the lunatic. The investigation is in disarray, according to Bardo, who came to see us today and appears to have sources of information within the watch. Correas is still suspicious of him, but managed, I think, not to show it. I am not as suspicious, but was probably not so successful at concealing it, for I dissemble poorly. And your own investigation? Do you make any progress? I asked. Sadly, little enough, he said. We had thought that some one of the countesses might be involved, since all of the killings before now had been in proximity to her house. But perhaps not, although the countess herself, with several of her people, was in the general vicinity of this latest killing, attending a party. We are checking now upon any connections between those people and all of the victims.
What of the Countess herself? Asked Correas. She is ruthless enough.
Ruthless, but quite sane, I think, replied Bardo. Besides, she has a room full of witnesses who can swear to her whereabouts. At this moment we were interrupted by a Calarian wishing a permit, and he fell back into character as a porter, and I dismissed him with a gratuity. He smiled wryly at me behind the petitioner's back and pocketed it, then left, whistling tunelessly.
Private Journal of Gregorius Bass, the 20th of the second month. This morning Correas's bed had not been slept in. When I took him to task, he at first would not say where he had been, attempting to imply a lemon, but I am not so much the innocent man as that. Asked outright to deny that he had been spying on Bardo, he confessed that this was the case.
I have found, he said, a house not far from the temple, where there is activity I do not understand. I know the low street which leads to it. Tonight I plan to strap myself beneath the bridge which carries the main street above it, and investigate more closely the traffic thereto.
And if I forbade it?
Do not forbid it, master, for I do not wish to leave your service, he said in a tone which was almost pleading.
Although I had grave misgivings for him, I had not the heart to deny him, and it seemed that it would do little good to do so. I insisted, however, that he go home and sleep, leaving the little business of the office to me for the day. It was as well that there were few to consult me, for I was distracted with concern for the youth. Returning at night, I woke him with some misgivings, and as we ate, attempted to convince him to allow me to come also, to be nearby should he require the assistance of my blade. He refused, but did offer me a roll, which I have just returned from performing.
I saw, he said, from a distance a delivery maid, and marked the carter, a man of notable ugliness with a squint and a wen. This morning, after you sent me off, I went in another guise to ask if I could hire his services for tonight, and he said he had a task already, but his friend could help me if I wished. I visited the friend in case he asked, but, he grinned, we were unable to reach an accommodation on price, and I will get my carting needs met elsewhere. I suspect that there will be another delivery tonight. You can assist me by hiring a carriage under which I can cling and driving across the bridge. I will fling a small stone at the horse's leg, and it will kick and falter. You then will stop to see to the horse at the crest of the bridge, in such a spot that the shadow of the carriage hides me as I slip over the parapet. If you can stop the carriage so that the rear wheel is almost beside the parapet, the front wheel out a little, and get down on the parapet side and stand where you will hide me, so much the better. I will swing under and strap myself beneath. I have done it before on this very bridge, and none shall remark me, clothed in black in the darkness and with a full mask. Then, when the carter passes under, I shall see his delivery, and perhaps hear somewhat to my advantage.
It is a daring scheme, I declared, and I see you are not to be dissuaded, so I will help you with thanks that you trust me in its execution. But can I not take up a position nearby after you have hidden, to come to your aid if needed?
Nay, my sir, for I fear you and I may be watched, and to lurk in the vicinity would bring suspicion. I am better served by secrecy. Go you on to the house of the old men. The weather tonight will be adequate explanation for the carriage.
And how shall you return from beneath the bridge? I asked. For if secrecy and lack of suspicion is your goal, I can hardly have the horse stumble again on the same bridge returning.
What you say is true, he said. There is a ridge in the low street, however, beneath the bridge, and the cart will bump over it when it returns from the delivery. When it does so, I can drop into the cart bed unheard, and in the darkness unremarked. I will leave the cart at the next opportunity where there are shadows and means to climb, and then I will make my way in turn to the house of my father and the keeper.
It sounded like a plan of considerable risk, and I said so, but he was adamant, and I soon saw that he could not be convinced.
For, he said, if I am right and Bardo goes ahead with his original plan, the risk is far more certain for me and mine.
I carried out the first part of his scheme, and sit now with the old men, waiting for his reappearance.
I'm Mike Reeves McMillan, and you've just been listening to me reading from my novel, City of Masks. For more information, and to download more episodes, please visit city-of-masks.blogspot.com. Thanks very much.